Good afternoon. Happy Sabbath. No pressure or anything with that introduction. Nah, not at all. Before I get started in this message, I do want to thank you for your prayers. I was supposed to be here last Sabbath, but as illness is going around, I got sick. And I tested negative for COVID. But my mom, who I visited for Thanksgiving, and my nephew did test positive, so I figured it'd be safe just to stay home and not spread. But thank you again. It's good to be back. Also, I've been wanting to give this message here in Knoxville since probably about September when I gave it in Kingsport. So I see you Kingsport people. If you were there in September, I'm sorry you're going to be rehearing it. But it just seems like illness and everything has hindered me from speaking, but now it's good to be here. So this message, the inspiration of this message, where I got this, is from a book that was suggested to me. It's entitled Preaching with Freshness. It's by Bruce Mawinney. And in the book, it gives advice on how to preach through a pastor who has been pastoring of a congregation. Yes, it's a Sunday-keeping church, but been pastoring this congregation. He's noticed that his messages have grown stale. He thinks he needs to be transferred so that he can be rejuvenated. But then before he decides to ask for a transfer, he goes to see one of the people that taught him, which is also a senior pastor, just to get inspiration. And he was talking about his messages, and one of those messages that he was talking about was Jonah. And the book, like I said, through story form, provides ways to improve your messages. And I just thought it was awesome that he mentioned Jonah. And if you feel the desire to read the book, I'm not advocating, but if you decide to, it is definitely a good book to help with the speaking. And when he was talking about his message about the book of Jonah, or a few verses of Jonah, I was like, that could apply to us here. That could apply to us here in Knoxville. And so I would like to go into Jonah. I've titled this message, Jonah, You, the World, and the Kingdom. Jonah, You, the World, and the Kingdom. And since Jonah is four chapters long, we'll have a four-part sermon series breaking down each chapter as we go and glean as much as we can from the book of Jonah. So without further ado, let's begin the study by reading chapter 1 in Jonah and then breaking it down into some points with scriptures outside of Jonah so that we can better understand it for our own lives here today. Jonah 1, verse 1. And if you could turn there with me, which I'm already there, so it's right by Obadiah and Micah. Jonah 1, verse 1. And we'll read to the end of the chapter, which is 17 verses. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of... I'm not even going to try that. Of who he's related to. Saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. Verse 6. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will perish. Your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Imagine that. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" So he said, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempest. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and the sea will become calm for you. For I know what this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." For they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the man feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. What a wonderful story about Jonah that we all pretty much know. But I want to break it down and reread a few verses here through each point. The first point that I'd like to draw out to is the beginning of the chapter in verses 1 through 3. It said, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go from them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Maybe you're like me, but we see first, before we go into that, we see that Jonah's tucking his tail and fleeing from his duty that God has given him, the responsibility to go to Nineveh to preach to them. And maybe you're like me, in which I'm, thank you for the map. I don't know where these cities are. I don't know where, why, how far is he fleeing to. So if we could look at the map here, we see where he's from. He sees, if you see the dotted line where it's going, that's pretty much to Spain. He is tucking tail, run as far as he can, even though that Nineveh comparatively in distance is just a short travel. But he decided that he didn't want to do that. Jonah did not just stop from going, he strived as far as possible to get away from the possible task that God gave him, which is to preach to Nineveh. Another thought that we could have, that maybe he is the only one that decided to tuck tail and to turn away from his responsibilities. But he is not. That is not the case. If we look at the people of God that is also in Hebrews 11, Moses strived to not go back to Egypt. He said that he couldn't speak. He tried to refill his responsibility. Isaiah the prophet also stated that he had unclean lips and strived to free from his responsibility. And if you even look from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the apostle Peter stated that he would never flee from Jesus Christ. But we know initially that Peter did flee as the Messiah said he would. So it's not uncommon for the people of God to flee from the task at hand that God has given us. The thing, though, to remember is that these accounts have been recorded for us here today to learn from, to strive not to go down that same path. To bring it back to Jonah, he was given a mission to preach to the world, a wicked world. As it said, Nineveh, that great city, cried against it, "For their wickedness has come up before me." Look at the world that we live in now. It's definitely more wicked than what Nineveh was back then, or just as much. Aren't we not given the same task to preach to a wicked world? We are. Please turn with me to Mark 16. Verse 15. This mission that God has given us, this is the mission. The same mission of preaching to a wicked world. We are called to be a light to this world, not to turn tail, tuck tail, turn and go the opposite way. We are called to be a light. And in the scripture I read, I don't see that it's just given to certain tasks, to certain people. It's given to everyone that is a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's you. That's me. Mark 16, verse 15. Arise, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This task, as he gave it to his disciples, and as we read it, as he's giving it to us, this is for all of us. Not just the ministers, not just the people at the home office, but all of us. That includes myself. That includes you. The question that I propose is, do we rise up to this challenge? Do we proverbially grab the bull by the horns and push forward, set with a task, completing it to the best of our ability? Or do we act like Jonah? And when that task is given to us, we decide to run away from it. We know what we must do. We know what we must do. The choice is ours to make. Hopefully we don't turn tail like Jonah and we make the right choice by saying, hey, let me fill that gap. Let me do what you asked me to do. The next section and the next point is found in verse 4 of Jonah. So please turn back with me to Jonah as we reread just a few scriptures here. Jonah chapter 1. I should have put a bookmark. I should have also asked you to put a bookmark in Jonah. And since I am remembering that, sorry, microphone. In verse 4 is where we'll pick it up as we reread it here. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship to lighten the load. As we see in verse 4, the Lord sent out this great wind, and it was in verse 5 that it states that the mariners were afraid due to this great wind that the Lord had sent. As far as we know from the reading of this chapter, we see that this wind and trial was not because of what the mariners were doing, but rather the one whom God sent that decided to run away. But yet the mariners did suffer due to the choice of that one individual, Jonah. When thinking of this account, I got into thinking, is that a common theme in the Bible that others suffer due to someone that God is calling, making a wrong choice, a wrong decision? Yeah. They do. They do indeed. The one that comes to mind besides Jonah is a man after God's own heart, King David. Please turn with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Chapter 24. And we're going to pick it up in verse 11. And as we turn to this account, this is the account of David numbering the people of Israel and what he did went against what God desired from David, which was full reliance on him, not the number of people that could pick up the sword and could defend Israel. It was supposed to be reliant on God. And we'll read what David's choice was to what punishment that him might be. Because David decided to asked for the people to be counted. It wasn't Israel that asked, hey, count me. It was David. And we pick up in verse 11 here. Now, when David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad and David's seer, saying, go and tell David, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you. So Gad came to David and told him, and he said to him, shall 7 years of famine come to you in your land? Or shall you flee 3 months before your enemies while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days plague in your land? Now consider and see what answer I should take back to him who sent me. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Please let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel from morning until the appointed time, from Dan to Beersheba. 70,000 men of the people died. Wow. Wow. A person that's a man called after God's own heart, due to his wrong decision and not fully relying on God and counting the people, 72,000 people died because of his wrong choice. David not obeying God had dire effects for the land. And we see this in Jonah as well. Jonah made a wrong choice, and it was affecting others. And if we think that it just happened to David, if we think that it's only going to happen to Jonah, then we are greatly mistaken, because it will happen to us too. On the contrary, our own bad decisions, our own choices of choosing to disobey God can have effects to those here in the congregation, to those that maybe might be being called, that don't know God's way, because we decide that we don't want to obey what God has asked us to do. Again, I ask a question. Do we want to be that way to both our congregation and to those that maybe God might be working with? Are sins only fueling the problems outside in the world, or problems within the congregation that we attend? Are we a stumbling block from someone coming to God's way? Again, something to examine to see if we match up in our Christian walk. Back to Jonah. The next section in Jonah I want to examine is at the end of verse 5. At the end of verse 5, it says, but Jonah had gone down to the lowest parts of the ship, had laid down and was fast asleep. We know what was happening above. We saw that in the beginning. A great wind was tossing and turning the ship. Those on the ship were concerned with the chaos that was happening. They were lightening the load so that they wouldn't sink. And what we read here is Jonah is in the bottom, the lowest part of the ship, just catching some Z's. There are many things that could be said. One thing that could be said about Jonah is that even though the trial is being brought upon, that he's, by his own decision-making, he's remaining calm during it. That's awesome, to remain calm, to remain cool-headed during a trial, but there's something to say about being calm during a trial and being tossed in every direction. That's awesome. That is awesome. And we all know that trials and tests that come are for what God desires for us to learn and grow. And like I said, that's awesome. But I see this in a different light of that verse of Jonah being asleep. When I read this scripture, I see Jonah not caring for what's happening to those that are around him. He's fast asleep. The world is in complete utter chaos around us. And it's a complete utter chaos around Jonah. And Jonah's not helping. He's asleep. Jonah's not sharing what the reason is to this point of why this is happening. Jonah's still asleep. This got me thinking about myself and us here today. How often is the world in chaos, being tossed to and fro, and that we are just sleeping, doing nothing to help those that are around us? And we could say that the world has brought it upon us, upon itself, and remove ourselves from having any part of that, and to proverbially fall asleep. But that is not what we're called to do. As Jonah was given a mission, we are given a mission. And even though there's chaos, we are called to still preach the gospel to a dying world. There's a scripture that comes to mind with just walking about how this section relates to us from Jonah. Please turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 8. And we'll pick it up in verse 22. And we have drawn closer to this scripture through the times that we're living in. And we know that they are crying out even more. They might not know why they're crying out, but we are also crying out with them. In verse 22 of Romans 8, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit," that's you, that's me, "even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But the hope that is seen is not the hope for why does one still hope for what is for what he sees." The world does not know what's causing the birth pangs, but we do. We do. We know why the things are happening around us. We desire God's kingdom and Christ's return so that it could be healed. We just observed the fall holy days about 2 months ago. We desire that. Each time we keep the feast, we desire even more. So even though the world is in pain and is in chaos everywhere, we must not fall asleep. We must not grow callous, but stand even more fervently and preach the gospel that provides hope to this dying world. That's what we're called to do. Let's go back to Jonah. We're going to read Jonah 1, verse 7 through 15. "And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah." No surprise there, again, as I said earlier. "Then they said to him, 'Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?' So he said to them, 'I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.' Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'Why have you done this?' For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you that the sea may calm for us?' For the sea was growing more tempest. And he said to them, 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me.' Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempest against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.' So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging." When we look at that scripture, we see what is that Jonah's found out that he is the cause for this trial upon the ship. The people decide to even question why Jonah would do such a thing to bring this trial upon them. And if we look at ourselves, like I mentioned earlier, it's hard to think that we might ourselves might be part of the problem, adding fuel to the chaos that the world is experiencing. The people not here do not know that we could be adding to that chaos in this world, but we do. We know what we do when we are by ourselves, of choosing to walk with God or to walk away from God. We know what God has asked of us and what we have refused to do. What task do we want fanning the flame of fire of chaos to a dying world, or do we want to help it? Again, another scripture that comes to mind, which I ask you to turn to, is found in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11. Please turn there with me. And as we turn to the scripture is talking about not discerning the Lord's body and eating it in an unworthy manner, about the consequences of doing such, which we typically read around Passover. And we know this means examining ourselves for partaking of the Passover, but we should not stop examining ourselves throughout the year to see if we're actually matching up on a daily basis. Because I think we need to do that on a daily basis. Not just one time of the year, not just around the spring holidays, but every day. So let's read that scripture. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29 and 30. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. This scripture states the side effects towards others because we don't examine ourselves. Again, another thing that is not new to us or others throughout the Bible, as we mentioned, we need to examine ourselves. The question arises, do we want those around us to suffer because we choose to walk, to run, to get on a boat, to get away from what God requires every single one of us? I don't think we do. The final point in Jonah, as we close with this first chapter of Jonah in this series, is even though we could possibly be tied to the chaos that's causing around, Jonah was tied to this. He got on that ship, the great wind happened. That even though that we might make wrong choices, as Jonah did, we can also still help, even through those bad choices, helping people to find that right path. In verse 16 of Jonah 1, after they cast him into the sea, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. If we look earlier, they were casting lots. They were praying to their gods. They changed their heart because of what they did and what they saw, the great power of God. The mariners were just looking for God to protect them in verse 6. But now they see the true living God that's actually going to protect them by tossing Jonah into the sea. That we see that the mariners feared the Lord, they offered up sacrifice, and made vows to the living God. All because the waters calmed after Jonah was tossed into the sea. Because of not of their gods, but because of the true living God. With that in mind, of Jonah choosing to make a wrong decision, of running away from what God has asked him to do, and that affecting others. In the end, it caused those mariners to believe in the true living God. And I think if we look down deep in ourselves, because we make some bad decision, I think the same applies to every single one of us here. That even though that we make bad decisions from time to time, and that they affect others, that could lead to more chaos, God still works out everything for good. We know this. A familiar scripture here. Please turn with me back to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 28 this time. Because even though that we make bad choices from time to time, ultimately God is in control. All things work out for the benefit of God, which is good. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It all works out for good. We might not know it during the time, during the chaos, during the great wind, but it will. Even to those that we affect through our good decisions and our bad choices, that it all will work out for good. But I do ask both myself and you here today, let's strive to make good decisions. Good decisions. Because as we see from that trip, if Jonah made a good decision, it would have been shorter. It would have been shorter. And sometimes when we make good decisions, it'll also be shorter for us as well. So let's try to make good decisions rather than going away, running away, making a bad choice. So we've covered the first chapter of Jonah and brought it to mean more to us than just a story about a prophet who decided to run from God and to be swallowed by a great fish. And since this is the first chapter, there are going to be more lessons that we can get from this letter of Jonah to apply to our own Christian walk. So let us not, as we recap the points, let us not run away from the purpose that God has called us to do. Because he can accomplish so much more if we allow him to run our lives. We should try to not add fuel or cause problems in others' lives because we choose to run away from what has called us to do. We can be better. We can do better. And by choosing to do better, we can help the world even more. Help ourselves so that we can make the right decisions in our own life. By following God rather than running away. So let him direct our lives. Let us make good choices and fulfill the purpose that God has given every single one of us.